So let's see what we've got here this morning. This one is from another one from October of 2018. So just last fall. This is relatively recent. All right, here's the question. What does the Bible say about when we go to heaven? And then elaborating, when we die, do we know nothing until Christ returns, since the dead will rise first and meet the Lord in the air? Well, let's look at that passage. That's going to be found in 1 Thessalonians. So let's take our Bibles and turn over to the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. What does the Bible say about when we go to heaven? Well, there are several passages that we could look at. But right now, since this particular quotation has shown up, then we'll look at a few verses from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's start with verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep. Let me just pause there to say this is an encouraging verse to read, because the kind of question that we have here, what does the Bible say about when we go to heaven? This is an answer to that question. And so he's saying, we don't want you to be uninformed about this. In other words, I want to give you that answer. That's what Paul is telling the believers in Thessalonica, and thus that is what God is telling us today. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep. Asleep is the Christian euphemism for physical death. It is not death, because we tend to think of death as the eternal death, the second death. So Christians don't die, even though physically we do, but that's just asleep, which means that we have had a bit of a transition, and that's what we're trying to answer today. So we do not want you to be uninformed about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others who do not have or who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of the command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. And that is exactly what I wish to do today, to encourage one another with these words. Now, this really does not answer the implied question about what happens at the moment of physical death. What happens when this life comes to a close for a Christian, even though I know that I have a Lord, a Savior in heaven that is going to take me to heaven, I can read in this passage and I can see that the dead in Christ are going to rise first at Christ's return. So it's obvious why this question would be asked. When we die, do we know nothing until Christ's return, since the dead will rise first and meet the Lord in the air? So before I elaborate a little bit more on 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I want to look at, is it Colossians? Or no, it's Philippians, where he talks about I would rather die and be with the Lord. Philippians 1, that's the one I'm looking for. Philippians chapter 1. Okay, yeah, starting... Eager expectation. 21. Let's start with 21. Philippians 1:21. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which shall I choose? I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. And then he goes on to talk about himself, his personal convictions. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. But back there in verse 23, I'm hard pressed. My desire is to depart and be with Christ. This tells us that at the instant of our departure, meaning that I am no longer within this body, that I am with Christ. So, in answer to the part of the question that said, will we know nothing until Christ return? My answer to that is an incorrect assumption. That's an incorrect interpretation. We will know. Matter of fact, we will be immediately with the Lord when I am absent from the body. And where is that reference?
2 Corinthians 5:8.
Thank you very much. Let's turn back over there because that's another important one that goes along with this. 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So again, we have a couple of references here, among other places that we could look, that make it very clear that when I reach the conclusion of this life, under whatever circumstances that may be, that I will immediately be with the Lord. However, I'm not going to be with the Lord in this body, and for that I am very grateful, because this is not the body I want to have to deal with for the rest of my life. You know, I'm getting to that point where now it's, in addition to the glasses, I'm having to consider hearing aids. What? Anyway, so I don't want to have to deal with that. But we know that these physical bodies that we are in, that they are degrading. They're going downhill. And the older we get, the more we come to a firm conclusion, I do not want to be stuck with this for eternity. So we are going to be given new bodies. We do know that. But even apart from those new bodies, spiritually, I go immediately into the presence of my Savior. And people can say, well, what's that like? Well, I can't answer what that's like. I haven't been there and I haven't done that. Neither has anybody else, by the way. And so if you read some book about them having died and gone to heaven and come back to tell you, would you please throw that book away? That is not what the Bible says is true. And I know some of you right now are thinking, wait a minute, it sounded pretty convincing. Read the Bible, folks. It is appointed to man once to die, and after that to face judgment, which means they're not coming back here to tell you what it's like. Nobody has died and come back. Some may have had a physical death that, according to science, says that their heart stopped and maybe their brain activity stopped. Whatever that is, it is not the biblical description of death. It is appointed to man once to die, and after that to face judgment. There is nobody that's going to be going to heaven and then coming back and telling us about it. There are a few exceptions which the Bible has already given us, and we know that to be, for example, Elijah. It was Elijah, right? Not Elisha. Elijah was taken up, and then the other one is way back in the Old Testament. What's his name? Enoch, and the Lord took him because and didn't have a physical death. But anyway, those are the few exceptions to the rule. So in terms of going to heaven and coming back, that's not going to happen. However, when I die, I am immediately in the presence of the Lord, and I am aware of that presence in the Lord. Unless, of course, I die without Christ. If someone who has not accepted Christ dies, then we could go to the Luke chapter 16 passage where Jesus told the story about the rich man and Lazarus. And the rich man died and immediately went to a place of suffering, which also tells us something. That even for those who are not Christians, there is not a cessation of consciousness. For those who are not believers, when this life comes to a close, there are torment will immediately begin. That's not the final torment, according to the Scripture. It's going to get worse, but the torment immediately begins. So there is not an unconscious state, according to the Scriptures. Do we know nothing until Christ returns, since the dead in Christ will rise first? So now we get back to our 1 Thessalonians passage about the dead in Christ rising first. And what this means is that we are going to be given, at that point, new bodies. And what do those new bodies look like? Read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where he makes it clear that our ability to comprehend the nature of this new body is almost impossible. We can't really comprehend that. But we're told about it. And we know that when Jesus Christ comes back and he raises my old body up from the grave, it's not going to be my old body. There's going to be a resurrection, but he's going to give me a new body. And it's not going to be anything like this one. The closest we can come, and I'm not sure that that's something that we can go on, but we know that Jesus, after his resurrection, had a physical body. He had a body, but it was not bound to the laws of nature as we know it. So he had a body that could be touched because he told his disciples, come here and touch me. Come here and look at the scars in my hands and on my side. You can see that it's really me. But at the same time, this was the guy who could come through a locked door without opening it. So the nature of this new body, we don't really fully comprehend, but I'm going to be given a new body at the resurrection. So to say when Christ returned that the dead in Christ will rise first means that those who have already passed away, those who have already gone to be with the Lord, are going to be given new bodies at that point and raised in order to be the first who were raised. And then those who are still alive, if we happen to have not experienced physical death prior to the return of Jesus, as is prophesied in Scripture, then at that point, I am going to be changed, again, according to 1 Corinthians 15. I am not going to be taken up into heaven with this body, but this body is going to immediately be changed into that new body. All of these things are, they stretch us as we try to grasp them, as we try to understand what is it going to be like. And again, well, I'm going to have to take you to 1 Corinthians again, this time to chapter 15, because this is a passage that Paul attempts to address scoffers who are suggesting that because it doesn't make sense, it can't be true. That's essentially what they're saying with regards to the resurrection. Let's see, where do I want to start? Okay, yeah, 30, let's go to 35. Someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? So he is anticipating a scoffer who would say, how can you say there's going to be a resurrection? What would that even be like? That's what they're saying. What's this body going to be like? And here's his response. You foolish person. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as He has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same. There's one kind of for humans, another for animals, another for birds, another for fish. And then he goes way beyond that, and he says, and there are heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. As we think about this spiritual body, generally we speak in terms of physical and spiritual. And when we use those terms like that, we tend to think physical is something that is tangible that can be touched. Spiritual is something that is not tangible. It cannot be touched and even cannot be seen. That's generally the way we think. And yet, Paul gives us these instructions from God, and he talks about a spiritual body. Well, that seems like you're tying both concepts into one, and I believe you are. I believe that Jesus, at his resurrection, had a spiritual body. Whether ours is going to be like that or not, the Bible doesn't clearly communicate, but Jesus had a spiritual body. That means that even though it was one that could be touched, it was one where people could hear the words that were formed from his lips as they did all of their configuration in order to speak words, and people could hear those words with sound waves that were communicated from Jesus to the ears of the hearer, that it was still a spiritual body, so that at one moment he's there and the next moment he isn't. Well, where did he go? How did this happen? We don't know. This is part of the nature of the spiritual body. So even as we read in 1 Corinthians where scoffers are asking, oh yeah, how can you even say that? Now answer all of these questions. And they come up with all these questions. The reality is we don't even know the questions to ask. We don't understand this. But I know it's true because God has promised it. God is always true. God is the one who created the world as we know it. He created this physical universe. He created the laws of nature. It is a simple thing for Him to create something that violates the laws of nature. He's the one who made it. He can do what He wants. So even though we feel like, wait a minute, this goes beyond the laws of nature, I don't understand this, well, you don't understand God either. So we are going to be immediately in the presence of God. What was that question specifically? What does the Bible say about when we go to heaven? We are going to go to heaven either for a believer, only believers, only those who have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord are going to heaven. It's important that we understand that. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So you can hear other religions, other people from other religious groups talk about going to heaven, but unless they're going through Jesus Christ, their talk is just wishful thinking. They are not going to heaven according to the Scriptures. The only way to heaven is through faith in Jesus Christ. But for those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, when this life comes to a close, I will be immediately in the presence of God. And at that point, you can ask me and I'll tell you what it's like. Before then, I don't know. And you're going to have to be there, so you already know what it's like too. Or when the Lord comes back. And that's when I will be in heaven. Now keep in mind, even the term heaven, I know I've addressed this before, but even the term heaven, you're going to get people who come to you from some cult and they're going to tell you, you know, we really aren't going to heaven. Not everybody's going to heaven. They're going to, and then they're going to give you some other terminology, paradise or whatever it may be. Okay, so it's a technicality, and I have to give it to them on the technicality because that technicality Satan uses as a tool in order to deceive well-intentioned people. But the reality is that we are using heaven under normal circumstances merely to make reference to the place where we're going to be with God. And so when I say go to heaven, I'm talking about going into the presence of God. The Scriptures are clear that there is a first heaven, which is the sky around us. There is the second heaven, which has to do with the universe and the planets and the stars and the galaxies and all of that. And then there is the third heaven, which is the abode of God. Some would say, well, is it above that? No, we've now left the physical realm, so you can't describe it in those terms. So when I talk about going to heaven, I'm talking about going into the presence of God. And there is going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Are we going to be on the new earth? According to the Scripture, all those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ are going to be the inhabitants of the new heaven and the new earth. And what's that going to be like? I don't know. Read Revelation. That's about the best I can do on that. Don, you're going to have to really speak up. Nobody's got a mic. So the question is, just to stir the pot, are the elements that make up our body going to be a part of our new bodies? And although I'm speaking from conjecture, I'm speaking from a very confident conjecture. No. And the reason I would say that is because we are, even that question assumes that somehow or another, the physical that we have right now is going to be maintained. And it isn't. Even the world that we see around us, when we talk about the new heaven and the new earth, you read in Scripture, that's because He's going to destroy the old heaven and the old earth. He's going to destroy all those things that are, and He's going to create the new heaven and the new earth, which in some ways you can see is already in the process of being created and is going to come down out of heaven. Well, I don't know how all that works, but I do know that there's not going to be that type of a continuity, and that even in, you know, we could even go to logical terms, that the particles that make us up are simply various particles in terms of the elements and the stuff that the earth is made of, that the physical universe is made of. That is what our bodies are made of right now. Well, if we had those particles, then it seems like by definition, we're still restricted to some sort of a physical existence. It's going to be a spiritual body. It's going to be brand new. It's going to be so much better. Don, you don't possibly want to hold on to what you've got right now. Not that I'm saying anything about you personally. I'm just assuming. And of course, there are those who have attempted to make the argument that Christ didn't really rise from the dead, that there is a spiritual resurrection. Thank you for bringing that out. I appreciate that concept. So even as we think about the body that Jesus had, and that's one of the reasons I was saying Jesus' resurrection body, our spiritual body, I am not at all certain about the correlation between those. I'm using Jesus' spiritual body or Jesus' resurrected body as an illustration to the fact that at a certain point, we are no longer bound to the laws of the universe. However, It is very clear in Scripture that Jesus was physically raised from the dead. As a matter of fact, it is so clear in Scripture that to deny that resurrection is to deny the Lord Jesus Himself. This was not just an apparent resurrection. It wasn't just a fanciful use of words in order to suggest that Jesus Christ came back from the dead, but rather it is the reality that Jesus Himself, His physical body, was raised from the dead. Now, it obviously went through some sort of a transition. Something was different about it, but Jesus physically rose from the dead, and that is an imperative statement that you must make. It's an acknowledgement that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and was raised again to life. To deny that is to deny the scriptural tenet of what salvation is based on. Yes, Bill? That's right. So we can see, once again, that body had physicality to it. On the road to Emmaus, He walked with them. He sat down with them. He ate with them beside the sea. He said, "Hand me a piece of fish," and He ate that piece of fish. Does that mean we're going to eat fish for eternity? I don't know what it means. It does mean that there was a physical body there. Yes, ma'am. The people did not recognize Him after He rose from the dead. I would not argue that it's because there was a different physical appearance. I would argue that that was because they were kept from recognizing Him for a time, because obviously there was enough of a physical correlation that the disciples did recognize Him at another time as they saw Him on the seashore and He was calling to them, and then they said, "It's the Lord." And then when He shows up, He says, "Here's the scars to prove it." So there was a physical correlation, which I'm convinced the rest of us aren't going to have to put up with, and I'm glad for that. James, what do you say? You don't want any physical correlation between this life and the next, do you? No, we don't want that. But Jesus is going to bear those scars for eternity because those are the scars that testify that He is the one who paid for the sins of all mankind. Yes? That's right. Yeah, Paul readily acknowledged, "This is beyond my understanding," and I think we all have to. The good news is, here's our take home from this. Having put my faith in Jesus Christ, my eternity is secure. So whether I die today, or 10 years from now, or 20 years from now, or whether the Lord comes back, whenever that happens, I'm immediately with my Savior Jesus, because His death have covered my sins. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for reminding us today that Jesus Christ is our Savior. Lord, we are so amazed at Your love and Your grace and Your mercy. And we are moved by the fact that even as we study and the deeper we study and the more we learn, it seems that there's more and more and more that we don't understand. And it's because You are an infinite God beyond our full comprehension. And so, Lord, even as we celebrate today salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, we do stand in awe of You. In Jesus' name, amen.